وَمَا آتَيْتُم مِّن رِّبًا لِّيَرْبُوَ فِي
That which he gave in usury in order that it may increase on other people's property hath no increase with Allah.
Welcome to Islamic Economy, a program that is aimed to make us understand what Islam tells us with regard to spending, with regard to saving money, to dealing with money.
God is looking for an economic system that's based on real things. It's based on real production. It's based on real services. It's based on creating real value for people.
Islamic Economy, a program that offers Islamic solutions to your economic problems in your daily lives.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين سلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Islamic Economy, a program in which we try to discuss what Islam says about economy. How should a human being spend in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased? How should transactions transpire? What are those transactions which are prohibited? What are those transactions which are allowed in Islam? Is interest something which is encouraged or abhorred in Islam? What are the repercussions of interest? And so on. There are many discussions that are worthy of contemplation. Insha'Allah, we will be looking at some of these discussions in our program. We have been looking at the after effects of sadaqah. We said that there may be an ambiguity that would come in people's minds, and that is that doesn't sadaqah bring about the culture of laziness? And we looked at some points related to that, and we came to realize that although Islam encourages giving sadaqah and being generous and bestowing wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it highly discourages begging. And also we came to realize that there are some evil effects of begging. We also realized the fact that although it discourages begging, it encourages giving and not refusing anybody who is in need. This is the second point that we talked about, which was very important. The third point that we stressed is that sadaqah is not something to be given only when begging transpires. Rather, a human being who is concerned should go to the person who is needy, try to find out about his state, and then go to the person and help him accordingly. He should not anticipate that the person would come at his door and ask for help and so on. So, sadaqah should be given in that way. Sadaqah is only given when a person begs. This is what Islam encourages us. Another very important point that we just began mentioning in our previous session is that sadaqah should be given in a balanced way. That means that when a person would like to help another person, he should look at the state of that person. What does he need? What are his capabilities? How can the person be helped? And so on. A person who doesn't know how to use money, if you go and give him a lot of money, he would waste the money. He doesn't know how to spend this money. A person who doesn't know how to save money, if you tell him that, for example, this is a very huge amount of money, put it in your bank and slowly and gradually you draw from this amount. He doesn't know how to economize. He doesn't know how to spend. He will spend in however he wants. So, this is very important. We should try to know whom are we giving and accordingly we should give. There are times when, you know, you don't have a lot of money in your pocket and somebody comes and begs. Alright, this kind of beggars, you give a little to that person and you honor him as Islam tells you. But sometimes what happens is that there is a person who has a very huge predicament and he wants to support his family in a noble way, and he wants a loan, for example, or he wants help, for example, you know, maybe he has not even come begging, but you want to give sadaqah and you want to help him. How should you help him? Is it that you should give him his 1 month's expenses? Would that really solve his problem? Or the next month he would come back to square one, thinking that now this month, how will I support my family? And that is why you find that Islam encourages ighna, the concept of ighna. Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. This is a very beautiful verse of a supplication that we recite in the holy month of Ramadan. We say, Allahumma adkhil ala ahli al-qubur al-surur. Allahumma aghni kulla faqir. O Allah, enrich every poor person.
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريكي يا ربي توحيدك قد أخلى
Islamic Economy, a program on Islamic economy, every Friday on the Call of Islam radio station by Hujjat al-Islam, Sheikh Muhammad Khalfan.
إلا آيات للحب
توحيدك قد أخلى قلبي من كل شريك يا ربي فبيوم لقائك لن أتلو إلا آيات للحب.
Here, the concept of enrichment is quite different from a person giving a substantial amount of money and saying, okay, this one will be supported by this money for 2-3 months. After that, what? Make him in such a way that he is independent. Enrich him. Ighna is to make a person independent, either by giving him a capital, and you know that this person would use the capital in the proper way. He knows how to do business, and therefore what he needs is just a capital. With that capital, he will be able to run his family, and he will come to a level whereby he can even pay that money. Although, when it comes to sadaqah, you should just help the person in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is what you can do to him. Give him in such a way that it is a capital for him, so that he can work and earn and be needless. Not that after a certain time he again comes back. Sometimes the person doesn't know how to use that money. He doesn't know what is the concept of having a capital. He doesn't know how to do business. It would be immoderate of a person to give sadaqah and to spend with a huge capital amount of money, which would be a capital for a person who doesn't know what a capital is. But such a person may be able to work properly. So you can try to give him a job, which would make him enriched in such a way that he's independent. He does his job and he gets a certain amount of expenses or a certain amount of money every month so that he can support his family, an amount that he needs, for example. So sometimes you will find that you need to give a person a job and help him in that way. Sometimes, no, you need to give him a capital. Sometimes it is quite different. You find that the person doesn't have eyes. He cannot see well and he is limping, for example, so he cannot work. All he can do is stay at home and perhaps listen to tapes which would make him, you know, get busy and so on. Or work, do some things which, you know, can be done while he is at home. For such people, they need support. Let's say the person doesn't have any son who can support him. So, to such a person, you can support every month a certain amount. You can open a bank account for him and put a certain amount for that person every month. This is something which would be encouraged. It's not something which is discouraged, because the person cannot simply work. But yes, if a person can work properly or can do business and you give him every month a certain amount, that is not something which is encouraged. In fact, in our riwayat, in some of the traditions we come to realize that giving alone has more blessings than giving money just like that to a person. So giving sadaqah has got less merit than giving a loan. One of the reasons that has been mentioned is that when you are giving a loan to the person, you are making him responsible. You are making him a person who would go and struggle and get the money back. Yes, it is something else that is he able to procure the money or not. Then again, there are some very beautiful directions that give him some more time and so on. And if you are very generous, say that no problem. If you cannot pay, don't pay. But if you can pay, then I'm giving you this much time, for example. So this is what Islam tells us. Islam doesn't tell us to give sadaqah in an immoderate way. A person who is respectable but needs a capital and you want to give him a very small amount, you have a big amount of money with you, you can support him. But as sadaqah, you want to give him something like $10 or $5, and the person needs a capital about $50,000 or $40,000. You are able to support that person or give that person, but you do not give him. You say that, no, but what is wajib on me or what is encouraged is sadaqah, whether it is a small amount or big amount. No. Yes, it is encouraged to give sadaqah in whatever amount you give. But then everybody has got his own level of giving, and everybody should deal with the people according to their level. So moderation in giving is very important with regard to sadaqah. And the second important point that we mention in the course of explaining this point is enriching the person. Make him in such a way that he doesn't beg, you know, he doesn't have to ask help from any other person once he gets this amount of money. Another very important point with regard to this same discussion of the after effects of sadaqah is that we should try also to understand the fact that for the bread earner, that is the man of the family, it is incumbent for him to provide for the family. And therefore, he should not expect to get sadaqah from others. Instead, he should try to struggle, find work. That is wajib on him, that he should go and struggle and earn money. And therefore, Islam doesn't discourage a person from working. Rather, it encourages, and there are so many beautiful riwayat with regard to working and doing business and so on. And therefore, we should not be mistaken or misled to believe that Islam encourages begging or Islam encourages the culture of laziness, because, you know, it highly encourages people to give sadaqah, and because people get sadaqah, they would be depending on sadaqah, so they would not need to go and work. No, Islam encourages a person to work and struggle, and that is in a form of ibadah. Insha'Allah, in our next episode, we will look at some of the traditions also that allude to the fact that working and earning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a form of ibadah. It is very highly encouraged in Islam, and even business is something which is also highly encouraged. With this, we come to the end of the program. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin.
O my Creator, O Allah, fulfill our aims in life, Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah, O Allah, the Most Gracious. Ya Rabbi bir Mustafa, balig maqasidana, waghfir lana ma mada, Ya wasi al-Mustafa.